Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
I would say that the greatest threat facing climate action is actually inaction. The inability of companies, governments, individual citizens to really recognize the existential threat that is climate change.
You have this kind of weird doom loop where Leo Kanner is the first person to talk about autism, but he also plants the seeds for Bruno Bettelheim's nonsense. Bernard Rimlin debunks that, but then he also is one of the biggest promoters of these kind of quackery cures and treatments for autism.
Well, one of the people in Ann Arbor said what it feels like to them is that they're in Ann Arbor, which is so progressive. You know, everyone is a safe place for everyone. No hate here, except for the Jews.
Today, hear samples from these three podcasts, Force Multiplier, You're Wrong About, and Let There Be Light, the American Israelite podcast. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. In today's episode, we're going to look back to the award winners from the iHeartRadio Podcast Awards that took place earlier this month, virtually. We want to highlight two of the dozens of award-winning podcasts featured. The first is the winner of the Icon Award for Biggest Social Impact of a Podcast. The podcast is Force Multiplier. Force Multiplier asks, what if we could change the world one relationship at a time? Force Multiplier spotlights the exponential impact we can have on the world by working together. Host Barrett and Day Thurston engages leaders from across the public, private, and nonprofit world who are forging partnerships to tackle some of the toughest challenges facing us today. Let's take a listen to a sample of the award-winning Force Multiplier from the episode about clear impact of climate change and how regenerative farming can reverse climate change. Barrett Day is joined by Bridget Cameron, founder of Patagonia, and Jennifer Morris, CEO of The Nature Conservancy, to learn how conserving ecosystems may be the best action we can take. But nature-based solutions only get 3% of the funding. In this clip, Nature Conservancy President Jennifer Morris talks about how her organization is changing to address its past and its new opportunities.
I would say that the greatest threat facing climate action is actually inaction. The inability of companies, governments, individual citizens to really recognize the existential threat that is climate change. It's not something that's going to happen to our kids. It's something that's happening now.
As CEO of The Nature Conservancy, Jennifer Morris is responsible for leading the largest environmental nonprofit organization in the Americas. With a focus on deploying solutions that maximize nature's own ability to fight climate change, The Nature Conservancy has grown to become one of the most effective and wide-reaching environmental organizations in the world.
The Nature Conservancy is an organization that started 70 years ago. And it really started as a land trust organization, helping people in the United States to protect lands that they held dear in their neighborhoods. And these were lands that had beautiful views, that had gorgeous forests, that had streams or rivers running through them. And since then, we have really expanded that original ethos of protecting lands and waters and oceans to think about the drivers of loss of those lands. So it's not just about protection. It's also about stopping the loss. So how do we address food systems? How do we make sure that we're growing food on land that's already been degraded instead of on new lands where we have to cut forests down to grow crops? How do we make sure that climate change does not impact where nature has to live? How do we stop climate change and actually adapt to climate change to make sure that coastal communities from Rhode Island to South Africa have the right nature in place on the coast to protect people from rising seas? So we went from this organization that was small and scrappy to one that I would say is still extremely innovative, is using the best-in-class science and financial mechanisms. And now we're 4,500 people working in over 70 countries and really still have deep roots in the United States. And one of the things that I'm particularly proud of is how do we ensure that our work is a force multiplier, is working with people who are often seen as outside the environmental movement. Our movement has been, unfortunately, seen as a wealthy white person's movement. And that is something that I take extremely seriously and am pushing as hard as I can, both within and externally, to bring in new people, new audiences, new actors, and making sure that we're promoting the next generation of conservationists that look more like the global community.
From the iHeart Icon Award winner, Force Multiplier. Get more from the Start Here podcast collection now at wvxu.org/starthere. The other winner we're featuring today is the overall winner of the entire iHeart Podcast Awards. It's called You're Wrong About. You're Wrong About is an American history and pop culture podcast created by Michael Hobbs and Sarah Marshall. The show explores misunderstood media events, interrogating why and how the public got things wrong. Whether it's the Challenger disaster, O.J. Simpson's trial, or the murder of Kitty Genovese, You're Wrong About exposes the myths and points you toward the truth. Let's sample You're Wrong About and the episode The Anti-Vax Movement. Sarah speaks with journalist Eric Michael Garcia about the history of autism being a result of parental neglect.
This is so much like the history of like the discovery of childhood sexual abuse and people in the 70s being like, where did it come from? It's this new societal threat. And it's like, no, it just was always there because we silenced people. We didn't talk about it. We minimized it. We acted like it was something that only affected a tiny percentage of the population, which of course is wildly untrue. You know, all very similar aspects in some ways.
Much in the same way, if we're going to keep on talking about Elvis, just in the same way that Elvis, you know, upset parents because he brought sex out into the open, they were probably equally as upset about him talking about autism in his movies.
Yeah, they started to have suspicious minds.
Oh, that's nice, Mike.
Boom.
Yeah.
So for a long time, parents blamed themselves. And then what happens is the paradigm slowly starts to change, largely with the help of a guy by the name of Bernard Rimland, who is a father of an autistic child. And his book, Infantile Autism, really kind of leads to kind of a pushback to that idea and helps relegate it. The problem is Rimland was one of the biggest promoters of the idea that vaccines might cause autism. And it's important to recognize that this was going on before Andrew Wakefield.
When does this book come out?
This comes out in the 1960s.
Okay.
But then what also happens is that after Rimland's book comes out, a lot of parents start to coalesce and start to meet up. And he's one of the co-founding members of the autism, what later becomes the Autism Society of America, along with Ruth Christ Sullivan, who's incidentally the mother of one of the people who Rain Man was based off of.
Yeah.
Rimland, while he was correct in, you know, debunking that really, really toxic idea of toxic parenting, he also was one of the people who promoted ideas like casein-free diets, giving children high levels of B12 will hopefully make them not as autistic anymore. So you have this kind of weird doom loop where Leo Kanner's the first person to talk about autism, but he also plants the seeds for Bruno Bettelheim's nonsense. Bernard Rimland debunks that, but then he also is one of the biggest promoters of these kind of quackery cures and treatments for autism.
So it's like, it's not this crank explanation, it's this other crank explanation.
Yeah, I think it's also important to remember that autism doesn't exist as a separate diagnosis in the Diagnostic and Statistic Medical Manual of Mental Disorders until 1980.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So gay people were in there, but autistic people weren't. Great stuff.
The iHeart Overall Award winner for Best Podcast. That's You're Wrong About. Available now on the Start Here podcast collection. Just select the podcast menu from wvxu.org. From our local creators, Ted Deutsch and Julie Babs Brooks, comes the local Cincinnati podcast, Let There Be Light. The podcast is a product of the American Israelite newspaper, published in Cincinnati. It's the oldest English-speaking Jewish newspaper in the country, and now the Let There Be Light podcast brings those stories to life. Let's sample Let There Be Light with an episode that focuses on local rabbi Drew Kaplan. Ted and Babs cover current topics from the newspaper with Drew, and in this clip, he speaks about the power of Anne Frank's story and its impact on the Jewish diaspora and the world.
You know, Anne Frank is a really fascinating case. It's a face to something that's, you know, we have 6 million who perished, unfortunately. And it's just such a hard thing to wrap our heads around, the face. Like, it's so impersonal of a number. But I think what's great about Anne Frank is it's a face that we can really connect, and we really have a sense of not only her personhood, but also her family. We have their people. We have a three-dimensional sense of who they are. So I think it's something that we can I don't think anybody really cares about, you know, who turned in so-and-so or whatever. But this is something that's very particular. It's really putting a face to.
Think is also it's unfortunate that she didn't live,
right?
Well, there wouldn't have been a story either.
Adds to the tragedy.
Her story is what has affected so many people. Right. Yeah. Had she lived, maybe her diary would have been kept for her, and maybe she never would have published
it. Right.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
I would have liked that outcome better.
Well, we all would have.
Right.
We all would have.
Right.
So on page 9 in national news, so anyone who's been up to Ann Arbor at the Synagogue Beth Israel knows that for 18 years there have been protesters across the street putting up signs that say resist Jewish power corrupts, no more Holocaust movies, which I think everyone agrees with, boycott Israel, stop U.S. aid to Israel, end the Palestinian Holocaust. And you know, at that point, the city council, up until this point, the city council said this is free speech, there's nothing we can do. They were moved across the street. I remember previous articles saying they were moved across the street. They couldn't be at the direct entrance, but this was free speech. But after two Saturdays ago Colleyville, now the city council has stood up and said, no, this has got to end in a different way. They've
stopped it.
They've tried to stop it the best they can. It's still free speech, but they've worked a little bit harder on this.
I think they're worried about is this is going to go from a protest to like
violence. Violence.
Exactly. It's not that big of a step to go from one to the other, and that's what they're afraid of.
Well, one of the people in Ann Arbor said it. What it feels like to them is that they're in Ann Arbor, which is so progressive. You know, everyone is a safe place for everyone. No hate here, except for the Jews.
In our local podcast spotlight, that's Let There Be Light, an American Israelite podcast. Available now from WVXU.org. Just choose the Start Here collections from the podcast menu. As is usual and customary, before we wrap up, let's look at the Apple Podcast charts to see what's big across the nation as presented by iTunesCharts.net. Well, new and hot on the charts this week, with its immediate rise to number one, is the podcast Twin Flames from Wondery. Jeff and Shalia, young couple famous on YouTube, teach about twin flames, a deep romantic connection with your perfect partner. It's a kind of divine love, they say, where each is designed for the other. But the path to finding your twin flame isn't so simple. Some followers claim they were encouraged to cut ties with friends and family that are holding them back, or to claim their true twin flame by any means necessary. Twin Flames is a podcast about what happens when the quest for true love turns into a dangerous obsession. And one thing for sure happens, we know, when you create a podcast about it, Twin Flames explodes to number one on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about Twin Flames or the other podcasts we feature today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and you'll see the Start Here newsletter. Just check on the box. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.